The reading this morning will be from Luke chapter 17, verses 7 through 10. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version, Luke chapter 17, verses 7 through 10. Will any one of you who has a servant plowing or keeping sheep say to him when he has come in from the field, "Come at once and recline at table"? Will he not rather say to him, "Prepare supper for me and dress properly and serve me while I eat and drink, and afterward you will eat and drink"? Does he thank the servant because he did what was commanded? See you also, when you have done all that you were commanded, say, "We are unworthy servants. We have only done what was our duty."
Good morning. I'd like to invite you all to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5, and we'll begin reading there in a couple of moments. It's great to see everyone out this morning on this wet Lord's Day, and quite a change from the past couple of days. I'd like to thank all those who are visiting with us. We have one who's even visiting all the way from Colorado. It's good to see everyone. If you have any questions about the things that we say or do this morning, please feel free to ask me any questions. And if you find any error in the things that I preach, please bring that to my attention, because the only thing that's perfect here is the Word of God, and I'm just a man and I can make error. I would say most people appreciate a pat on the back for a job well done, wouldn't you? When you do something nice for someone else, you appreciate being given a handshake or a thank you or a hug or something like that. It makes you feel encouraged, makes that person feel good about themselves. However, sometimes people are taken for granted and they rarely receive praise for the things that they have done on a daily basis. Now, I want all the kids to be listening. And that means each and every one of you, like Josh, Drew, I see you back there. Yeah. That means you too, Tristan. I see you right there. All right. As kids, you can take your parents for granted. And I know that might come as a shock to you, not the parents, but as you kids. You sometimes don't stop and think about everything that mom and dad do for you. Sometimes, instead of praising your parents for making your lives easier, you cause them grief and heartache, Audrey. Yeah. However, this does not stop your parents from continuing their work for providing and caring for you, because they are motivated by love and not reward. Of course, parents love it when you recognize their hard work. And sometimes it's not until, sadly, it's sometimes not until you move out that you actually do so. We can also see how people are taken for granted in a marriage. Husbands and wives tend to get into a routine, and the wife usually takes care of certain things. The husband takes care of certain things. These jobs that they do are usually taken for granted, and most of the time they don't ever receive a pat on the back for what they do. Again, both the husband and wife would appreciate praise for these things they do, but it is not their main motivation. Again, they are motivated by love for one another, and so they do these things. However, if the husband decides to help his wife with something that she normally does day after day, sometimes he expects some praise, even though he doesn't give it to his wife for the same thing that she has done over and over again. The same thing is true for the wife. Sometimes they may help their husband with what he normally does, and they expect praise for what their husband does all the time. Again, there is nothing wrong with receiving praise, but we have to be careful that we don't find ourselves using praise as our main motivation for doing good. So if we put too much emphasis on receiving praise from our mate, then it can lead to an unhappy marriage. And there have been many marriages that have ended in divorce because one of the parties felt unappreciated. Again, I want to stress that I'm not suggesting that we shouldn't praise one another, but it should simply not be our motivation for doing good. The same concept is true when serving God. Notice what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5. If everyone would turn there, we'll start reading in verse 14. That's Matthew 5, verse 14. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Every Christian is supposed to be a light in this dark world of sin. And when we do good works for others, they are supposed to be done so that they glorify God in heaven. So our motivation for doing good for others should be because we love God and we want to glorify Him. However, it becomes very tempting for some to be motivated by the praise of others. And again, Jesus talks about this one chapter ahead in Matthew chapter 6. And we'll start reading in verse 1. That's Matthew 6, verse 1. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be seen in secret, and your Father, who sees in secret, will himself reward you openly. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. So we see first, Jesus taught us not to hide our good works so that others could see them and glorify God. However, now Jesus is teaching us that we should not be doing good works or charitable deeds just to be seen by others. What we have here is a difference in attitude. In the first instance, the motivation for doing good works is to glorify God. But in the second instance, Jesus is pointing out the wrong motivation for doing good works is to receive the praise of others. Those who find themselves doing good works to receive praise from others are compared to the hypocrites of the first century. And Jesus tells us that the people who live for praise and receive it have already received their reward, and they will not receive anything from the Father in heaven. This was a problem that the Pharisees had, and Jesus points that out in Matthew chapter 23, where he talks about the Pharisees and how everything they do is done for the praise of others. They prayed long prayers on the street corner to impress others, and they gave so others can see and will brag about how much they gave. After Jesus had spoken the parable of the unjust servant in Luke chapter 16, notice what is said in Luke chapter 16, and we'll start in verse 14. That's Luke 16 and verse 14. Now the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, also heard all these things, and they derided him, which means they turned up their noses at him. And he said to them, you are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. For what is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. Now these Pharisees had gotten to the point to where they were more concerned about justifying themselves to others instead of justifying themselves before God. When a person begins to seek honor, praise, and justification of others, then they have moved away from God, and he considers this an abomination. This is one thing that kept some from believing in Jesus. In John chapter 5, and we'll start reading in verse 43. John chapter 5, verse 43. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, him you will receive. How can you believe who receive honor from one another and do not seek the honor that comes from the only God? If I was to tell you that my main motivation for coming up here and preaching was to be the center of attention and to receive your praise, what would you think of me? Better off? What would God think of me? I know based on this lesson that God would think of me as an abomination and worse than an unbeliever. Even though I'm doing what God commands us all to do, which is to preach the word of God, my heart wasn't in the right place. It wasn't showing a love for God. And while I can also tell you that either Brother Dale or Gary would come and grab me and pull me off this pulpit, and probably Steve would finish preaching. This is why it's important that we examine ourselves and make sure that our motivation for doing good works isn't done to seek the praise of others. Because when we do this, it causes God and His Word to become a lower priority in our lives and not first where it should be. Another important thing, we need to realize that God doesn't owe us anything. And we should never have the attitude that God owes us something. Just because we have done good works that glorify Him, as Paul told the Romans in Romans chapter 11, and we'll start reading in verse 33 and go down through verse 36. Oh, the depth of the riches of both the wisdom and the knowledge of God! How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out! For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become His counselor? Or who has first given to Him, and it shall be repaid to Him? For of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things. To Him be glory forever. Amen. Everything we have and can do came from God. He created us and made things all possible for us. But without Him, we would have nothing because we would not exist. That is why God will never owe us anything. And David understood this because notice what he says in 1 Chronicles chapter 29. And we'll start reading in verse 13. Now therefore, our God, we thank You and praise Your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly as this? For all things come from You, and of Your own we have given You. For we are aliens and pilgrims before You, as were all our fathers. Our days on earth are as a shadow and without hope. O Lord our God, all this is abundance that we have prepared to build You a house, for Your holy name is from Your hand and is all Your own. In the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon takes us on a tour of all of life and concludes that all of it is vanity. Pleasures and riches lead merely to boredom and despair. Only a relationship with the One who created us and continues to care for us will truly satisfy. Troubles and uncertainty will continue to plague us. But even during these times, we can find joy and a secure trust in our Father. At the end of this book, he comes to the following conclusion. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, we'll read verses 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. As Christians, we should fear Him and keep His commandments, because He is in control and we will be judged by Him. When it says fear Him, it doesn't mean we should serve Him because we are afraid of Him. Instead, this means that we should respect Him and His authority. And we should love Him for what He has done for us and allow our love for Him to be our main motivation and encouragement. Even if no one pats us on our back or praises the work that we do, we can still stand tall knowing that we are glorifying God. In Deuteronomy chapter 12, we'll read verse 12. Or Deuteronomy chapter 10, we'll read verse 12. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways and to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul? Again, this emphasizes that our duty to serve God with all our might because we love him. Jesus called this the greatest command of the law in Matthew chapter 22. We'll read verses 36 through 38. That's Matthew 22, start reading in verse 36. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. As we serve God in this way, and do good works in his name, we must not confine our good deeds to those that we know, because God wants everyone to experience his love through you. Jesus points that out in Luke chapter 6. That's Luke chapter 6, and we'll start reading in verse 31. Luke 6, 31. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. But love your enemies, do good, and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. For he is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. Now, I got the idea for this lesson from the students in the 4th, 5th, and 6th grade class in the back that I helped teach. A couple of months ago, we were in the lesson book on the Sermon on the Mount, and we had a lesson that was titled, How to Love, Do Good Deeds, Pray, and Forgive. And we started to discuss the part about doing good deeds. And Josh Bennett raised his hand and started talking about how his dad, Steve, helped someone out who was stranded on the side of the road. And I believe he said that his dad might have gave him some money to help him out. And after Josh finished, Drew Taylor raised his hand and started talking about how his dad, Matt, helped someone whose car broke down on the side of the road. These are both wonderful examples on how we are supposed to help those in need. Neither Matt nor Steve did these things to be praised by men. They did not know that their kids would tell others about the good things that they did and how I would talk about their good deeds in front of you. Instead, they did in secret and showed compassion and love for others and not a want for praise. What a great example they showed for their kids. And as you can see, they noticed. So don't limit your good deeds to those who are close to you. Branch out and touch other people's lives with the love God because they deserve your service just as much as those who love you. When we have the right motivation in our life, we will be happy people. But if we find ourselves looking for the praise and respect of others, we find ourselves miserable because people will fail you in these areas, and in some cases, they will even be mean to you. And when this happens, it will cause you to fall away from God because your motivation wasn't in the right place. However, if your motivation is right, you will not fall away. Peter talks about this in 1 Peter chapter 3, and we'll start reading in verse 13. It's 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 13. And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their hearts, nor be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. Have a good conscience, that when you defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for good than for doing evil. You see, if you are motivated by love and you are following God, you will realize that even if you suffer for your good deeds, you can know that you are blessed in what you did, and you can use bad experiences like this to grow closer to God, because you know that you did the right thing according to His will. We can also know that our good deeds will not be ignored by God, as we see in Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, and we'll start reading in verse 9. But beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you, yes, things that accompany salvation. Though we speak in this manner, for God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward His name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Also, Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So even if you never receive a pat on the back from another person, you can take great satisfaction in knowing that God is pleased with what you are doing. I think we have a great example right here in our own congregation of those who understand this concept. And I'm talking about the ladies who teach our young children. Some of the same ladies that have been teaching our children and grandchildren for many years, and in some cases, decades, without a break, and many times they are taken for granted because they are out of sight and we do not see what they are doing. Now, if they are motivated by the praise of others, then I believe we wouldn't have any teachers for our kids. But fortunately, they are motivated by love. They understand that they are serving God in a very honorable way because they are doing their part in molding these young minds with the Word of God. Knowing that they are doing this to glorify God is all the motivation they need. However, this does not mean that we should not praise them for their efforts, because they certainly deserve our admiration. And I would be the first to tell you that I need to do a better job in thanking them for the work that they do, especially in teaching my daughter about God and His Word. Now, I want you to think about your own life. Do you find yourself looking for the praise of others when you do good deeds? Have you forgotten that your motivation should be the love that you have for God? If you discover that your motivation is wrong this morning, then you need to change your ways and refocus yourself in loving God and His Word first. We must learn to have the attitude that Paul did in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 10. That's Galatians chapter 1 and verse 10. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please God? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. In other words, Paul is saying that we must be pleasing to God first and follow in the footsteps of Jesus. One of the greatest commentaries on this topic, which was the scripture reading this morning that Brother Matt did a great job on, was the preaching that came from Jesus Himself. And I want to close out this lesson with what He tells His disciples, because it will summarize this whole lesson. That's Luke 17, verses 7 through 10. And which of you, having a servant plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field, come at once and sit down to eat. But will he not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper, and gird yourself, and serve me till I have eaten and drunk, and afterward you will eat and drink? Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. So likewise you, when you have done all those things which you are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. I hope this lesson this morning will motivate you to love God first and simply do your Christian duty without worrying about receiving a pat on the back from others. And now we come to the part of every service we have here that we offer up the invitation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I would like to ask you a question this morning. What is the greatest moment or day in your life? I'll rephrase that. What is the single greatest moment in your life? I would like us all to think about this now. Now, we all have great moments in our lives. Some of mine might be the day I got married, the day my daughter was born, the day I bought my first house. We all have many great moments, and we could all go on and on about the great things that have happened in our lives. But for me, the greatest moment of my life happened 2,646 days ago. That date was January 16th, 2011. And it happened about this time and was done right behind me. And for those of you that don't know, that was the day that I got baptized. It was the best day of my life, a very emotional day. A day I became a child of God, and I have a hope of heaven. So if you can think about any day that is greater than that, I would like to know. Now, if you have yet to become a child of God and reach an age of accountability, I would like for you to think about this day, this very hour, this very minute, this very second, as a moment in your life when you come to a fork in the road. You can either choose heaven or you can choose hell. It's just that easy. You can either serve God or you can serve Satan. It's that simple. You can either choose a moment in your life where you can have the hope of heaven, or you can go by doing the sins that you're in and end up in hell on the path that you are on. If you want to go to heaven, it's a place without sorrow, a place of paradise, a place where God is, and not a place of torment, of agony, of pain, of darkness, and with Satan. So if you want to have that greatest moment this day and take the road that leads to heaven, there are a few steps that you need to take this day. Number one, you need to hear the word of God. And we find that in John chapter 6, verses 44 and 45. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Number two, you need to believe that Christ is the Son of the living God. We find that in John chapter 8 and verse 24. Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Number three, you need to repent of your sins. And we find that in Luke chapter 13 and verse 3. I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And number four, you need to confess with your mouth that Christ is the Son of the living God. We find that in Matthew chapter 10 and verses 32 and 33. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. And number five, you need to be baptized. In Mark chapter 16 and verse 16, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And finally, And now that you have become a child of God, you need to live faithfully, not perfectly, but to the best of your ability. And we find that in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested. And you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. So these steps will lead you down a road filled with happiness and a special relationship with the Lord, and eventually to a home in heaven. But if you decide to stay on the road that you are on, you will end up in eternity in hell with Satan. So if you are not yet a Christian and feel that you aren't yet ready, or maybe you have questions, please feel free to come and talk to me or any of the members after services about any questions that you have. Or maybe this morning you feel like you are ready to become a child of God, but you don't feel like you want to come before everybody. You can easily come after services, and any of the members will be happy to assist you in being baptized with as few people as you want to be watching. Maybe this morning you are already a child of God and have unrepented sin in your life. Maybe you haven't been motivated for God the way that you should and want to make a change this very day. We would be happy to pray for you and with you this very morning and ask God for forgiveness. For we know that if we ask God for forgiveness, He is righteous and just to forgive us. So whatever your need is, come forward as we stand, as we sing to encourage you.